And I want to just kind of circle back and talk about and teach and preach what I had intended to last week, kind of like a New Year's message. And I know that it's already the 11th, but I just know that for so many people, January 1st is oftentimes, it's just a day of hope, somehow a day of change. For something new, maybe a new vision, maybe a new direction. You know, but when you think about resolutions and you think about just the things that we intend or that we would prefer would be going on in our lives, you know, and so we make these commitments, so to speak, these resolutions. It's where we want to quit bad, sinful, selfish things and start something good. It's where the glutton decides he's going to be skinny. It's where the sinner decides she's going to be a saint. Where the undisciplined becomes disciplined, the drunkard sobered, the workaholic goes home to his family. And then the whole thought of just the unhealthy want to become healthy. May I ask you a question? How many of you made resolutions this year? Oh, way high. A little more, any more? Okay, yeah. Okay, so that's about the average, about 45 to 50% who make resolutions, got studies on this stuff, 6%, only 6% follow through. That means only 94% fail, you know. And so I often ask that question, why is that? I mean, some of you made commitments on the 1st, and it's the 11th, and you're nowhere near doing what you'd like to do the rest of the year. I think because they're secular resolutions. They're things of the flesh. They're self-directed, selfish. It pointing to the flesh. Think about it. It's about the individual. It's not about the Lord. It's not about one's nature. It's not about the inward things that I need to take care of. No, it's something that I want to do outwardly. We do it by the what I would call the trinity of self. Me, myself, and I. They're for me. And so secular resolutions can be flesh-empowered, not spirit-empowered. They find their foundation on human desires and not on heaven's will. They're based on promises of the world, not the promises of God, focusing on the temporal and not the eternal. And finally, they're work-based, hardly ever faith-based. And I'm going to tell you this. Change is difficult because the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. That's just the bottom line. And I always think about this. If you can't change today, you won't change on the 1st. If you can't change on July 8th or whatever the date is, you'll not change on the 1st. Because a lot of things are based upon, now hear this, you've heard me say this in recent days, these are based on preferences and not convictions. I prefer to eat healthy, to try to exercise. I prefer to look better. I prefer fill in the blank. But I'm just telling you, if it's not a conviction from the Spirit of the living God, we will fail. We will fail. I think there's another reason for this is because we somehow think that January 1st is the day we get to reset everything. And folks, we don't reset our lives yearly, monthly, or weekly. We do it daily. It's today that's important. Right now, right here. Yesterday's gone. We're on the 11th day of the 2026, and the question is am I going to look at my life and decide that today's the day I give him my all? Because a lot of these things that we want to do, they're just pieces of the pie. We've compartmentalized them, and we've not invited God into them. It's just something that we hope to do, we wish to do, we And we start. Some of us start, man, we go through January, but I'm telling you, it's a chore. Why? Again, because it's based on works and not faith. And faith comes by hearing the Word of God. Hearing the Word of God. And the question is, the things that I'm committing to that are really self-based, has God really just said, is that where I want your priority to be? No, I want your priority to be that which is eternal, not temporal. I love this passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. I think I've quoted it first on your notes. We'll talk about it just for a minute. It's chapter 6, verse 1. I want you to notice this. Working together with him, we urge you not to receive the grace of God in vain. What does that mean? That means is that you put your face toward the grace of God, but you walk away from it because you don't let grace do the effectual work that the grace of God comes to do. Not in your notes, but let me just say this. Titus chapter 2 says that the grace of God has appeared to all men, and it brings salvation to us. But here it is. Grace instructs you to deny ungodliness and worldly desires, and then to... I thought you put it up there. Now I got distracted. It instructs us to deny ungodliness and worldly desire and to live righteously, godly, and sensible in this present age. It teaches us to look for the blessed hope of the appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who has redeemed us from every lawless deed. And the minute I get my life off the appearing of Jesus and what that means, that I'll be like him when he appears, is the moment that I somehow will quit walking in the grace of God. A grace that will teach you and instruct you to do the right thing. Listen, not just once a year, not just once a month, but day after day. And then as the days move into weeks and the weeks move into months and the months move into the year, and then you keep going and it moves into a decade, you look back and you realize, I live my life for Jesus in the day. I walked it out day after day. He urges us, listen, do not receive the grace of God in vain. The grace of God is the power of God for you. It saves you. It instructs you. For he says, watch, at the acceptable time I listened to you, and on the day of salvation I helped you. And then he says, behold, we just stop right here and tell you, now is the acceptable time, and now is the day of salvation. He's not talking to lost people, he's talking to the church. Now is the acceptable time. Today is the acceptable time. The problem with us not looking at today and looking back when we got saved, for instance, maybe at 8 years old or 10 or 15 and said that was the day of salvation. Folks, today's the day. Now's the time. Now's the acceptable time for God to appear and continue the salvation work that God started when you were 8, 9, and 10. Because when you came to Jesus, whenever you came, it wasn't finished. Amen? It wasn't complete. But somehow we think that's the moment. And yeah, it's the moment of being born again. But folks, you become mature, growing, giving, connected to the body. Because when you got born again, when God birthed you, and you made the confession on that day that he's my Lord, he empowered you with the Spirit of God. Amen? Yeah. He empowered you with the Spirit of God. And then he gave you gifts. Gifts of the Spirit. Gifts of grace. They call them, the theologians call them grace gifts. Some of you have the absolute total gift of teaching, and you love the Word of God, and you just want to teach it. You just want to speak it. You just want to say it. And yet somehow we'll think, well, how could God ever use me? I think, how incredible that is. Because folks, when you were born again into the family of God, he gave you gifts to walk out. Grace gifts. And he says it, listen, I saved you on the day of salvation, yes, but now is the acceptable time. Right now, January 11th, today is today. Today is the day. So what I want to do is I want to just bring to you some thoughts that I had a couple weeks ago when was putting this message together, and I want to just give you three words about today. Today, whenever it's called today. Tomorrow, it won't be tomorrow, it won't be yesterday, it'll be today. Right now. It's the acceptable time that God wants to move, that God wants to bless. This is the beauty of the abundant life. It's the beauty of what God's called us to, is that I have a fresh start every time I wake up to either live for Him or to live for myself, to live for the flesh or to live for the eternal, the Spirit of God. And so I want to just say, sometimes I think when I look at this passage of Scripture that I'm going to open up with that is so definitive, I want to say that today is always a new day and it's always a new beginning. Why? Because you are a new person, creature in Christ. That's why. In second Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, he says this. He says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. A new man, a new woman, a new boy, a new girl. If you're in Christ, you're new. And it's interesting to me, he doesn't say when you gave your life to Christ, you became new. No, you are new today. It's an ongoing process. It's an ongoing, listen to me, identity in Christ. Not in the world, not in my job, not in my money, not in my career. My identity is found in Jesus first. It's not in my fatherhood, not in me as a husband, even as a pastor or ministry. My identity is found in Jesus as a new creation. Get this right, you get it all right, because God will look at you. You will look at yourself as God looks at you. This is who you are. This is what defines you. Jesus. And he gave you an example to follow, to do the Jesus thing and the Jesus way in every area of your life. This is why I don't understand why many people who confess to be Christ, to be Christians and believers in Christ, they don't do it God's way. They do it their way. And it's amazing to me, because you can be raised up in a really lousy home and you want to do things different, but you begin to have the same patterns that your parents had, that you didn't want to walk in. We don't do it the Fritcher way. We do it God's way. Fill in the name. Fill in the blank. What's your name? You doing it your way or are you doing it God's way? Because I'm telling you, the Bible says today in Jesus, and believe it or not, even though I'm speaking a little loud today, this is who you are, church. You're new creations in Christ Jesus. Listen to me. You're sons and daughters of the living God. That's who you are. Please hear this. John says it in 1 John 3. He says, see how great a love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called children of God, and such we are. You're sons and daughters of the King. Sons and daughters of the living God who calls you sons and daughters, and you call Him Heavenly Father. Matter of fact, He puts a spirit within us by which we cry out, Abba, Abba, Father. Abba. Abba. What is Abba? It's the Aramaic word for dada. Maybe sometimes you watch footage from the Middle East and you saw babies crying. And sometimes, I promise you, I've heard it. I've heard them saying, Abba, Abba, Dada. For a lot of us, it's the first word our children say. Yeah, some say ball and some say something else, but most say Dada. It's the first word they use. It's the first word they speak. And God wants to be so intimate with you, so powerful. powerful with you. So I'm just telling you, he wants this relationship with you that he puts within your spirit that you cry out, Abba, Father. And some of you say, I don't know what that means. I didn't have a dad like that. And my dad was nowhere around. What does that mean? It means you have a new identity. And your standard that you have of God is not the standard of your father. It's the standard of God. This is your identity. You're a new creation. Period. This is what he says. He says, and the old things have passed away. What does that mean? They passed away. That means they're dead, the old things. And I think I got to ask the question is, if the old things have passed away or passed away, why in the world would I want to go back to the old things? It didn't work for me then. It brought misery. It brought devastation. It brought things that I struggle with, and yet I'll keep going back to the pit. I'll keep going back to the slop. I'll keep going back. Why would I want to do that when the old things passed away? How you identify your identity in the world, that passed away. You don't identify with anything but him. Doesn't mean you stop being a dad. It doesn't mean you stop being a husband. It doesn't mean you stop being a good worker. It doesn't mean you stop being a good saver. It doesn't mean any of those things. It just means that's not my identity. This is why people are depressed. Because they're finding their identity in something other than who they really are in Jesus Christ. And I want to ask you, church, is that you? Is that you right now in the season of your life? Because you are a new creation, and every day you are a new creation, and you have a new nature, a new heart. The old heart passed away. The new heart has come. I think about this. I think about it just as I prepare for it, as I think about it for my own life. What are the things that I'm holding on to that God says, wait a minute, that passed away. Why are you still going after that stuff? Passed away. The word is in a tense that says, that really literally means passed away. It's done. It's gone. This is no longer you. No longer me. Why would I keep going back to it? Why would my flesh think that's what I need? There's a great prophetic word in Ezekiel 36. I'm going to ask him to put it on the screen. It's the prophecy. It's this powerful, powerful passage of scripture that I actually was meditating on. It talks about what he's come to do. And then in 37, there's the vision of the valley of the dry bones. I don't know if you're familiar with it. You might be new to scripture. You might be new to here. I preach about it nearly every Easter. But just in my review and my study this week, I landed on Ezekiel 37. Matter of fact, Ezekiel 37, if you're following the January devotional, was a couple of days ago. It's powerful. But Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 23 says, I'm going to vindicate the holiness of my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned in their midst. And then the nations will know that I'm God, declares the Lord, when I prove, watch this, myself holy among themselves. I stop here for a minute because, listen, you call yourself, we call ourselves Christians, but if we're not living like Christ and not living after him, we're really profaning the name of our great God. That's what we're doing. So that's kind of hard, because that's kind of, not even kind of, it's true. Do you believe that you as a believer can profane the name of God by saying one thing and doing another? Jesus said that. Jesus says, you honor me with your lips, but your heart is far away from me. But God says, listen, I'm going to do something new. I'm going to do something great. I'm no longer, you profane my name, but I'm going to do something so phenomenal. And this is what he says. For I will take you from the nations, and I'll gather you from the lands, and I'll bring you into your own land. Now watch. Then I'll sprinkle clean water on you, and you'll be clean, and I'll cleanse you from all your filthiness and from your idols. Moreover, watch. I'll give you a new heart. And put a new spirit within you. And I'll remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you. And I'll cause you to walk in my word. And you'll observe and be careful to do all that I've asked you to do. I want to tell you, folks, we find this in Jesus. The old that passed away was the old stone heart. Selfish. Again, talked about in the beginning. Self-directed heart. Not God-directed, self-directed. Get all you can, count all you got. And then squander it. That's what happens. Why? Because you didn't walk by faith. God has given you a new heart. It's not a heart of stone. He has sprinkled you, not just with the clean water of the Word, but with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He placed His Spirit within you when you came to Jesus. Listen, it all changes. Why would I act a different way when my identity is I'm a new creation in Christ? The old heart is gone, the new heart has come. And I'm going to walk it out God's way. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to say something just over nearly 50 years of ministry that I have found that a person can come to Christ, get excited, and then 3 months later get hurt and think it's God's fault, walk in anger and bitterness. And I'm not saying the glory of God departs, but it's like something departs. It's not like it was. Maybe it's because you didn't do something God's way. And maybe not maybe, but you look back and you say, I didn't do that God's way. Because you have a new heart for it. You have a clean slate for it. You have it. And let me tell you this. You might have come to Christ when you were a kid, like I said before, or in your 20s, and now you're in your 50s, and you've walked away from Him. I want to say this. If you're truly in Christ, today's the day. It's your day. It's your day to see it fixed by God. It's your day to submit to Him, not to yourself. It's your day, because today's the day. Now is the acceptable time. You know, I love Lamentations chapter 3. It's written by the prophet Jeremiah. It's a hard passage of scripture for him because he's called the weeping prophet. He started prophesying when he was just a youth. And he prophesied them all the way into captivity. And he was broken over it because they did not hear his message. From the world's perspective, he was a lousy prophet because he couldn't see national repentance. But from God's perspective, he was very successful. Why? Because he spoke the word of God. He did what God told him to do. And yet in the midst of it, he would find himself struggling and hurting because he says in chapter 3, verse 19, watch this. Remember my affliction, my wandering, the wormwood and bitterness. Surely my soul remembers and is bowed down within me, and this I recall to mind. Therefore I have hope. What is he doing? He's talking to himself. He's talking to God. He says, listen, I remember something. I remember it, and therefore right now I have hope. Right now, right here, in the midst of my wormwood, in the midst of my bitterness, in the midst of my brokenness, in the midst of all the struggle. All the hatred spoken against me, he says. And this is what he says. The Lord's loving kindnesses, the Lord's mercies Another word is the Lord's love, the Lord's kindness, the Lord's favor, the Lord's graces. They indeed never, ever cease. His compassions never fail. Watch this. They are new every morning. The love, the kindness, the redeeming love of God, the favor of God, the mercy of God, and the grace of God is new to you and you and you and your family and your marriage and your life and your children. They're new every morning. And if you knew the power of that word, the love of God controls us. The kindness of God moves us to repentance. The grace of God through faith saves us. The mercy of God pulls us out of things that we don't deserve to be pulled out of. The redeeming love redeems us from the pit. And you know what he says? He says, listen, this is new every single morning. Now, I say this. We're all still in the flesh. I get it. And sometimes I can grab onto something like this in the morning, but forget it by noon. That's me. I don't know about that's you, but that's me. And so David talked about the watches of the day. The night watch. The morning watch. Where somehow, periodically through the day, he makes sure his heart is turned toward the Lord. I find it very, very incredible that for many people in the world, and many people, especially in our country, come to church to do that, and then driving out, forget it. Because he's truly not centerpiece of your life. You are new creations in Christ. The old passed away. But watch this. New things have come. Okay, so old things are passed away. They've stopped coming. So he's saying, it's done. It's over with. That's why you don't have to walk in guilt and shame the rest of your life or the rest of the day. Because the old's past. It's done. It's gone. It's over. The enemy wants to come. He's the accuser of the brethren. If we had time, we're not going to have time for the second point. Sorry about that. But the second point talks about having authority and taking authority that you have over the enemy. So the enemy is not, you're not allowing the enemy to rob you and your family from all the things that God has for you. And I say this to you men today. Bible says that you're the head of your family. This headship is not designed to put your thumb on your wife or your children. This headship is to serve and love and lay down your life for your family. This is where the power of God comes. And I want to just say this because I think this is really, really important. I just wonder why we as men can shirk the greatest responsibility and the greatest stewardship that a God has ever given to us. It's to lead our family like Jesus. Because you have the authority and the power over the enemy. And I'm not talking just men. You women, you have this too. This is God's design. It's God's design. You've heard me say this, strong men make strong marriages make strong families make strong churches, and strong churches make strong nations. And this is not just about attending. And that's the question you got to ask. Are you just an attender or are you a participant in the things of God? Where Jesus is welcomed at your table, he's welcomed in your home, he's welcomed in your life. It's already there. Why won't I just acknowledge it and confess it and say it. Because his loving kindness, his power, his grace is new every morning. Old things, they passed away. New things have come. That is in a different account, a different verbal, a different verb usage. It means that they have come, they are coming, and they will always continue to come. It's called the perfect tense. It happens, and it has this residue that is huge. Not just a residue, it's a power that goes on and on and on. That's why it's new every morning. It's new every morning. It's new every morning. Every day, you have a relationship with God. Every day, you have a purpose. Look back at the main text, and we'll finish with this morning. Notice what he says. He says, old things have come, old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. Let me ask you a question. Maybe it's the question of the morning. Are you initiating the new things that have come? Or are you enabling the old things to keep moving and moving and moving in your life? Because this is what he says, all these things are from God. What things? All these new things. Who gave us relationship with himself through Christ. He reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us a ministry of reconciliation. So here you have an ongoing relationship with God and a ministry of reconciliation. Now what I want you to do, it's not in your notes. Thomas, you don't know anything about this one, but it's Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. If you have your Bibles, I'd really like for you to open it and follow along. Okay, just Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. This is a powerful passage of Scripture about embracing that which is new and letting go of that which is old. And it gives you a great application in the midst of it, okay? So, and it'll still be on the screen. So this I say and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles or the world also walks in the futility of their mind. Quit looking like the world. Quit thinking that you have to have the world's approval. Because if you think you have to have the world's approval, it'll take you with you to hell. That's all the world will do. The world is the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, boastful pride of life. Do not walk like the world walks, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that's in them, because of the hardness of their heart. They become callous. They've given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. But you did not learn Christ this way. If indeed you did hear him and have been taught in him just as the truth is in Jesus. Here it is. That in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of the seed, and that you be renewed by the spirit of your mind. And put on the new self, which is in the likeness of God and has been created in righteousness and holiness of truth. Okay, here's what I'm going to say. From God's perspective, it's new. The old has passed away, new things have come. From our perspective, we're going to work it out. That's what we're going to work out by being disobedient, to know that I've got to crucify the flesh and its passions. And to say no to the junk of this world. That's what he's saying. He says, you put on the new self. It's the likeness of God. It's been created in righteousness, holy, and truth. You lay aside falsehood. You speak truth to one another with his neighbor. You be angry, but don't be angry. Don't let it be sinful anger. Don't let the sun go down on that anger. Do not give the devil an opportunity. If you steal, steal no longer, but rather labor, performing with your own hands what is good, so that you'll have something to share with one who has need. Let no unwholesome, that word is rotten, word proceed from your mouth, but only as such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it will be Give grace to those who hear. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, slander be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice of God as a fragrant aroma. Let me ask this question. Are we the same people at home as we are here in church today? It's easy to manage your image in a public place. But when you go home to the familiar, what do we look like? Are we the same people at home that we are here with one another? That's a good question. It's a good question for self-examination. It's a good question to ask yourself and to ask your wife or husband and to ask your children. Are we the same people? Do our kids see the same mom and dad, man or woman, that the church sees? This is the essence of Christ-likeness. This is the essence of the new creation. I have a cousins that I hope they're not watching. They were builders, and they could cuss up one thing the other until a woman came on the property, and then they'd whistle and say, "Hey, woman on the property, clean up your language." Right? They clean up their language. And, you know, when we're talking to one of them, I'm going to tell you, I love my cousins, love them, you know. And I said, "Hey, if you can stop that language in front of a woman, why can't you stop that language right now?" Why can't you change that? If this is something that is not edifying to people who come on the work site, why would it be edifying in your home? Do you understand what I'm saying here? Because my Bible says you're to speak a word that edifies your wife, that edifies your husband, that edifies your son, your daughters. It's supposed to build them up in the Lord. In the Lord. This is the word we speak. We edify. And if you nag and you complain and you're a perfectionist with your kids and you get mad and you get hard and you get harsh, shame on you. Because that's not the new identity you're to have in Christ. Shame on us. He has given you everything you need to live godly. In home, at work, at play, whatever you're doing. There is a way to live, and it's according to the new nature, and it's according to the loving kindnesses of the Lord that are new every morning. And I think what God would ask of us today, bow with me in prayer, I think the thing that God would ask us today, will you believe this word? That you're a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things pass away. Old ways I talk, old ways I cuss, old ways I'm angry, old ways where I walk in forgiveness, old ways where I'm offendable. And everybody knows it. But the people at church. And will I say, "Oh God, I don't want this in my life. I want to identify as you, with you and in my life." And guys, listen to me. Ladies, listen to me. It doesn't mean you become a Bible thumper. You become a word liver. You live it out. You live the word out. First word for a new year. Today's the day of salvation. Now's the acceptable time. Now is the time to walk it out, live it out. And if you're not doing that, and I don't challenge you as I challenge myself to live this out, I'm not a very good pastor. The one thing I want to say to you, and we're going to close. If you heard God today, you're alive in Christ. Because dead men and women can't hear God. Amen. So if you heard God, this is not to be to lay on guilt or shame. It's laid on a word that you heard from God to get up and by the power of Jesus to move from where you are to where God wants you to be. So if you heard God today, in any portion of this message, you're alive in Christ. Because dead people can't hear God. They just can't. This is the encouragement. This is the security. This is the power. This is the grace. This is the hope that today's a new day in Christ Jesus. And Lord, I pray that as long as it's called today, that we will live for you and obey your word and walk after you and not our flesh, so that the goals we make are goals of faith that have to do with the eternal promises and the eternal character of God. Oh God, may it be in our households today, may it be in our marriages and our children, that we live this life before them, that we'd not walk by the flesh, but we'd walk by the Spirit. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right.